from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Let's do this, Chris Harrington.
Now it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is The Harder They Come, the title track from the great reggae movie / soundtrack album of the early 70s. By Jimmy Cliff. Jimmy Cliff, 80 years old today.
All right. You finally decided. You said on Twitter, tired of waiting. You've thrown in the towel, and you published your off-season summary. You just couldn't hold out any longer.
Yeah, I mean, I've been tired of waiting, but this was more of an issue of, I'm leaving town Friday for more than 2 weeks, and I wanted to get that published and then write a big mid-summer mailbag thing that basically could go up while I'm gone. And so I was running out of time.
By the way, a little point of business here. Are you on with us Friday or no?
Yes.
Friday, yes, but after that, you'll take a little bit of a break. Okay, so I've tweeted out the piece again. I tweeted out yesterday, but if people want to read it for themselves after we finish our conversation, you can find it on Twitter or over at the Daily Memphian. We've talked about some of it, Chris, but I wanted to further explore some of the points you make. The first point you make in this is that the Grizzlies really did, in a very real way, decide to run back last year's team. As you point out, 12 of 15 roster players are here, and they obviously liked what they thought they were going to have last year, and they never saw it. What your thoughts on this idea that they ran it back?
Yeah, the one thing they couldn't run back relative to what they thought they were going to have last season is Stephen Adams, and so that's where Zach Edey comes in. And that seems, of everything that was realistically available to them, that seems like a pretty good bet on, like, replacing the Stephen Adams role, the healthy Stephen Adams role. But other than that, like, they thought the team they were going to have last season was going to be good, and so did everyone else. And that was even with Josh set to miss 25 games and Brandon Clark set to miss the season. Remember that this is before we knew Stephen Adams wouldn't play. And so, you know, this is the same core. And I think the core of this team is three players, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson. It's the same core, the same sort of six-man finisher, Brandon Clark, and the same head coach, Taylor Jenkins, of a team that finished second in the West each of the two previous seasons before this detour last year. sort of, and so and in between that, they went out and they added Marcus Smart because they thought he would be a great sort of defender and sort of veteran, you know, proven playoff veteran player. They added Luke Kennard because they thought, you know, his shooting would help boost the core they had. And then they developed in this mishmash of young players, some have popped up. You know, Vince Williams, I think, most notably, but, you know, G.G. Jackson and some others. And so there was real reason to think that this is not a, this is a team that fell apart in a temporary sense, probably, maybe. There's reason to think that. And so it's not like what they put together last season was proven to not be good enough. It never got the chance. And so there's reason for them to still believe in what they believed in a year ago.
Yeah, and there's and as you point out, they've never seen it. We've never really seen that core with Marcus Smart as and Luke Kennard as two of the key reserves or two of the key elements added, because we don't know whether right. Smart going to be a reserve or not. And it's interesting. You get the sense that some of the fan base might be psychologically ready to move on from Marcus Smart. Like, that didn't work. Well, it did not work. Like, they
played 20 games.
Yeah. They seem to want to see what they thought they were going to see last year, I guess, right? They obviously still believe in it. Or believe in the.
I think the small stretch they had where they had Marcus Smart playing with the three core guys, and this is like, you know, half a dozen games or whatever, like it looked good. It looked good in that stretch. You know, nothing is guaranteed, but nothing that happened last season disproves the idea that Marcus Smart would be a great, you know, complement to that core. And Marcus Smart has miles on him, and he's had some injury problems. He's only 30 years old. And so, yeah, to me, it's totally rational to look at that and say, if we believe this worked a year ago, there's nothing that's happened since then that would tell us it doesn't.
So, and then moving forward, there's really two, as you point out, we'll get to this coaching staff in a minute, but there's two reasonably significant changes. One is Zach Edey for Steven Adams, and you have to say, if we, at this time last year, we were envisioning, I think, anyway, a healthy Steven Adams, right?
Well, and I was envisioning an available Steven Adams.
Okay.
I did not envision Steven Adams playing 30 minutes a night for 75 games or whatever.
Right.
I thought there would be limitations to him, and the team thought there would be limitations to him, but they thought he would be available, you know? It would be a diminished, but available.
Even with those caveats, you'd have to feel better about that Steven Adams, even as high as you are on Zach Edey, as compared to a totally unproven. I mean, I think they've did a totally credible job of replacing that Steven Adams. But just if you were weighing one versus the other, putting aside that we knew what actually happened was he never played at all, you would take that limited Steven Adams off of this unproven Zach Edey?
No? I think it's a lot closer call to that, because I mean, I can only speak for myself, but like, right. You can go back and find things I wrote and things I said. This is not hindsight.
Right.
At the time, I was striking notes of caution about how much to expect from Steven Adams. The team believed he was going to be the opening night. He played the first preseason game, but I was writing and talking about how, like, don't expect too much out of this, given the injury he's coming off of, that there are going to be limitations in how much he plays and how well. And with Zach Edey, yes, he's a rookie, and we only saw, like, really the one summer league game, and so there's a lot of unknown there. But I think that's at least a toss-up.
At least a toss-up. Okay. And then, as you also point out in the column, Vince, Gigi, and Laravia. What we know about Laravia, at least have learned a little bit, compared to last year, same time, what we knew about Zaire, Roddy, and Laravia, dramatically better, right?
Yeah, dramatically better. I mean, I think in large part because of what we saw the step forward that Vince Williams Jr. took.
Right.
But in terms of amid all of the unproductiveness of that last year, there was productive sorting among this morass of young players. All, you know, they had all these young players in a bucket, the classic Lionel Hollins, Chris Wallace bucket. And over the course of a mostly lost year, there was productive sorting that happened. And Vince Williams and G.G. Jackson sorted their way up, and David Roddy and Zaire Williams sorted their way out, and Laravia modestly improved his standing.
Okay. So onto the coaching staff, because there was changes in the coaching staff that kept Taylor Jenkins. So in that sense, they're running it back. But you sort of made a point that they kept the two new assistants, and then they continued along this path of swapping out assistants. What do you make of what they did with the bench?
Yeah, I think to me this is sort of it's a small distinction maybe, but I think it's a key one. They did not look at their coaching staff and say, our coaching staff is a mess, let's blow it up. They looked at it and said, we identified some areas we wanted to get better a year ago. Let's push even more into those same two areas. And so a year ago, they added two new assistants. They added Patrick St. Andrews. They added Anthony Carter. And Andrews had a reputation as sort of an offensive tactician, and Carter had a reputation as a player development guy. The season was such, I mean, they finished last in offense, but the season was such a mess with availability. To me, you just can't judge it from a coaching standpoint. They did have some success stories on the player development side. But what they did this season was not, like, scrap the changes they'd made a year ago. They kept the changes they made a year ago and scrapped the rest of it. And the people they brought in were more on the same two areas. They brought in this guy, Noah LaRoche, to run their player development program, and they brought in this shiny new lead assistant who's got a reputation as an offensive tactician. And so I think the fact that they changed their coaching staff more than their roster says, A, they believed in their roster, that sort of guy, they're giving it a mulligan from last season. And B, it says they believe they can make the roster better with better coaching development around them. So to me, the coaching changes to me are a double down on the roster continuity.
So there's been a lot of speculation about what the coaching changes mean, and then people have looked at the backgrounds of these guys, LaRoche and Salo, is that it?
Yeah. Yep.
And said, oh, look at this. They play all this five out, three-pointers, layups, whatever. As you've said before, like, they're not going to stop, you know, running pick and rolls, you know, with Ja Morant. So, but it is interesting because the quote that you highlighted from Taylor Jenkins was, we're trying to play a collective brand of basketball, interchangeable, positionless, guys that can create and maintain advantages for us. What does that quote signal to you?
So, well, the reason I italicize that is that language is language that's associated with this new lead assistant. And we didn't know at the time, but maybe if we had done some spelunking and, like, Googled some of these phrases,
yeah,
like, the Salo guy's name would have popped up. And to me, I don't know how much it changes things substantively, but this is, like, the new lingo. Last year, the lingo was Gears, right? This is the new lingo, and that lingo ended up being a preview of coming attractions of their coaching staff changes in retrospect. And so, you know, to me, I mean, I sort of goofed on the positionless quote, like, right, actually the day he said it when I wrote the Zach Edey column. Like, yes, I think Taylor Jenkins is a thing Zach Edey, who is very much not positionless, you know? Like, he's very locked into a position.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, I don't want to make too much of it. We'll see what happens on the floor. But the idea that the general philosophy that Taylor Jenkins has offensively hasn't really come to fruition, but I don't think the general philosophy changes of wanting to the emphasis is on pressuring the rim and getting to the paint, and then secondarily, like, creating 3-point shots off of that rim pressure. They always have known they need to be better in the half court, you know, that they've been better in transition in the half court. Like, how you get there with the talent you have, that's the trick, but I don't think it's going to look radically different. I think it's going to look, you know, there's small tweaks and different personnel, and you hope, you know, you get it to where it needs to go. But I don't think it's going to be like they're changing the very, you know, nature of basketball when they roll the ball out there.
All right, and then the third thing you write about, again, people can read the piece at the Daily Memphian, is that the Grizzlies care more about the tax than they're sort of letting on. And we've talked about this a little bit last week, so I don't want to go too deeply into it. But there were two things that you wrote here that I was curious about. This sentence: did the team choose ducking the tax over improving the back end of its roster? Yes. What would that have looked like?
They could have gone out. I mean, they have access to free agency exceptions they're just probably not going to use. They could have gone out. Now, they've waited for the market to basically disappear. Like, that was a choice, too. And so it's not like today you can go out and sign various players, but like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Or even now, like, you know, Precious Achiuwa is standing out there. they'd be a pretty good fifth big on this team, you know, better than anybody they have. They could go throw an offer at him today and go into the tax. There have been other players, and I don't have the list off the top of my head, but like there are other players who have signed that they could have made a bid for in free agency. And instead of having, you know, John Conchar, Derrick Rose, Jake LaRavia, Mamadou Diakate, and then an empty roster spot or whatever,
right.
Like they could have had better players in those spots going into the season, more proven players.
Okay. And then the second thing in this section, the team has not actually said yet, because we haven't asked them about it, I guess, whatever. They have not said that they're trying to not start the clock on the repeater tax, right? Like that's one of the you have harsher penalties the more times you are a taxpayer, 3 out of 4 seasons, I think it is, right? But you said if they bring that up, you think it's a bit of a bogeyman, not a real threat. Why not? Like, presumably they will be paying the tax at some point in the future. Why start the clock now if you don't have to? Why is that more a...
Well, I'm not saying you should start the clock now if you don't have to, but I don't think the Grizzlies are ever going to be a repeater tax team. So, I think they're not going to pay the tax,
right?
You know, 3 out of 4 or whatever it is, years. I also think the cap's going to start going up a lot more. It only went up 4% this year. It's going to start going up 10%. I just don't see it as that big of a thing. I think it's more of a specter in the distance than a more direct thing. But again, I think they have essentially chosen so far, the tax is calculated at the end of the season, not in the beginning.
Right.
They have essentially chosen to avoid the tax, you know, by not doing things at the bottom of the roster. I think they did what they really essentially wanted to do with the rotation. And so to me, they have dodged the question, and the question sort of, you know, pushes out into the future, but they, to me, have sort of successfully dodged the question at the moment.
And all this, of course, was written with the Luke Kennard still contract still to come.
My presumption, right. More than an expectation. My presumption is he will be back on a relatively short term deal that will keep them under the tax line, at least at the moment it is signed.
Yes, not my expectation, but presumption. You wrote, and so wait, less than 3 years, and significantly less than the 14.8 that he would have made. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it hits 10. You know, on a per year basis.
He is playing in the FedEx St. Jude Championship golf tournament, the thing that they have out at Spring Creek. And so who knows if it'll be done by then. But you are imagining it will be done. The other thing, of course, that's changed is the West has changed, right? Like we've had new teams emerge. We've had Oklahoma City emerge. We've had sort of Denver look more vulnerable, thinner than ever, I guess. You've had the fading of the Lakers, the fading of Golden State, or presumed, who knows, they've shuffled the lineup. The rise of the Timberwolves. It is sort of like taking last year's team into last year is going to be different than taking essentially last year's team into this year, right? I mean, the West has changed.
Well, sure, but I don't know if it's changed. To me, it's scrambled a little bit, but it's settled in a similar kind of place. I don't want to, you know, get too far ahead of stuff that I'll write 2 months from now, but because, you know, we're not playing basketball for a long time, so we got to stretch it out. But I have taken a look. I sort of mapped out the conference actually this week for a column I'll probably write at some point, you know, later in the summer or early fall. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have the Grizzlies as the top 5 team in the West. You know, where in that top 5 I don't know, but I feel pretty good, barring unexpected stuff, that I'm going to have them as sort of a top 5 team, and that's sort of around where I had them a year ago. You know.
Yeah. All right, Chris. Oh, wait. Santi, another nice effort as Spain defeats Greece. Although he did get posterized, but played well, continued to play well. And so I guess that's good, better than the alternative.
Yeah, it's good for him. I don't think it has much bearing either way on, like, you know, his NBA future going forward. But, yeah.
All right, Chris. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
You can read the piece over in the Daily Memphian. I have tweeted,
from the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.